songs at halftime of the show already? Jerry Bader Show. Well, that's what it sounds like. Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. You're a regular listener of the show. You know I've been away from the microphone for a while. It's very good to be back. And I thought one of the best ways to do that was to bring in a friend of the show, Kim Strassel of the Wall Street Journal, also author of a very important book, Intimidation Game. If you haven't, read it. The Wisconsin John Doe, very, very big in there. And it's a great read, and it's an important read in this election cycle. And Kim joins us now on the phone. Kim, great to talk with you again.
It's so nice to be here, Jerry. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, I want to get to your column today about the advice that you give to Donald Trump, which I'm sure he'll promptly ignore. But no offense to you. It's just Donald Trump doesn't take advice to anyone on the debate. But I just mentioned the intimidation game and the John Doe probe. One of the things that happened while I was gone, of course, was the huge dump of emails from that probe, which those leaks weren't supposed to happen. And the British paper got that just coinciding when it is the Supreme Court is going to consider whether to resurrect the John Doe probe. My take on this was it was just one last stab. And of course, a lot of questions are being asked here in Wisconsin. Did Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm's office do that leak? And will we ever find out who did that leak? But to me, that just felt like one more stab at that.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, as you know, this has been a tendency, a habit that they've had throughout this. There were leaks prior when they were having trouble with their court case, which was clearly designed to embarrass people, humiliate people, cause a lot of mayhem for their political opponents, done at sort of key times during election cycles as well, too. So the leak for them has been a very powerful tool, and here they are doing it again. And I, you know, the thing that really jumped out at me about this as well is that then inspired the special prosecutor to say, oh, yeah, you know, we ought to do an investigation. It'd be great to have an investigation into some of the people that leaked what was going on in the probe to newspapers like mine.
Yes.
You know, so this also seems to be aimed at taking another run at the targets and victims of that probe who decided to speak out under a gag order. And obviously the prosecutors are still miffed about that in a way to maybe sort of go after them for, you know, violating the John Doe statute at the time, even though, as we all know, that was such a terrible law. It's since been changed.
Well, and the dramatic, if you look at the online version, the dramatic graphics and everything they use, I also felt that they were trying to make the case that, look, the state Supreme Court got it wrong, and these were really egregious, the very worst things that we think about, the dark money and all of that influencing. I felt they were trying to convict Scott Walker and the others here to sway public opinion as this gets reconsidered.
Absolutely. Look, there is nothing more dangerous than law enforcement scorned, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were slapped down and very hard by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And think about their reaction to that. There was no humility there. There were no apologies. Instead, there was an attempt to smear the justices who wrote that opinion, suggest that this was political. And they're now trying to juke things before it goes up as it's waiting to see if the United States Supreme Court might overturn that ruling. So they haven't accepted what the court essentially said was that they had engaged in a politically motivated witch hunt against political opponents. They'd invented theories of law to do it. They're still smarting over that rebuke. And instead of, again, of apologizing and trying to take corrective actions, they're just doubling down.
Talking with Kim Strassel of the Wall Street Journal, her Potomac Watch column runs most Fridays. We use it on the show a lot. Today you've got Trump debate do's and don'ts. Voters know he's a scrapper, but he must show an optimistic vision for America. And you open with this: which Donald Trump will show up to Hofstra University on Monday night for the first presidential debate? The Oval Office may hinge on that question. I think you have that exactly right. I actually, and as my listeners know, I'm hashtag never Trump, but I thought actually his speech on the Charlotte situation was quite good, probably one of the more presidential he ever gave. And it really does come down to, I can't imagine primary debater, primary campaign debater, Donald Trump, is going to show up Monday night.
Well, let's hope. I mean, for anyone who is opposed to Hillary Clinton, that would not be a good plan for Donald Trump to do so. And I think that's why this debate matters so much, Jerry, because just purely analytically, Donald Trump, whether you like him or you don't like him, he has performed much better over the past month. He has looked more presidential. His campaign team has got him doing policy speeches, using a teleprompter, trying to stay on script, not just go off on some of the usual Donald Trump rants. The problem for him is that a lot of Americans do remember him from those kind of unhinged Republican primary moments, or they remember him as a Democrat in the past, or they remember him as Donald Trump, the reality TV star. So that's the question, who shows up at this debate? If he shows up and he kind of maintains that presidential persona, and he can land some blows on Hillary Clinton for her ethics and her bad policies, but also present a more optimistic view of the country, then he might be able to swing over some of those the huge number of undecideds who still exist out there.
What do you attribute, for the most part, the tightening of the polls? Is it him looking more presidential?
It's only partly that. I think the majority of the tightening of the polls has been the very bad weeks that Hillary Clinton has had. Her terrible comments on the basket of deplorables, her health issues, all of the information that we've come out, which is very damning, about the Clinton Foundation and the access that donors to that foundation had to the State Department. It has really reinforced this belief that she is not trustworthy and that she could be a risk in office. Now, to the extent that Donald Trump has also presented himself as more presidential, he has undoubtedly convinced some of those voters to turn to him. But what we've largely seen, Jerry, is a lot of people saying that they don't want to vote for her, but not yet entirely deciding who they want to vote for.
So when you factor that, and you mentioned this in your piece today, that she is probably going to try to trip him up on policy, and that would certainly be her strong suit. He'll probably, because even with his past, character is still a place he can attack her, an area in which he can attack her. But I would expect her to really try to, if not just trip him up, dazzle the audience with her policy expertise and, really, really throw a lot of these gotcha questions at him.
Yeah, I think she's going to do a couple of things. She's going to try to have an Aleppo moment for Donald Trump. You know, what we saw with the Libertarian candidate, get the debate moderators or do it herself to pose a question to him in which he just doesn't even know the answer or says something that is incorrect or foolish looking. And she does have a masterful handle on policy, so that is something that will be a natural advantage for her. I think the other thing she's going to try to do is needle him, go after him on a sort of personal basis, which, as we all know, is something that Donald Trump really tends to react to when it happens to him, and see if she can't cause a sort of unhinged moment of the sort that he did have a couple of times during the Republican primary thing, make him look less presidential, because this has been the central substance of her campaign. She hasn't talked a lot about the policies that she wants to pursue. She has spent most of her time in the stump in recent weeks just hammering on the argument that he is unfit to be president.
And I think what you just laid out there is his greatest challenge. When you think of the way that he behaved in the Republican primaries, and I know what I'm referring to, that Rick Lazio moment in the Senate debate all those years ago.
Yes.
Where Lazio just had the temerity to even approach Hillary Clinton's podium with a piece of paper to try to make a point, and he was violating a woman's space. I think, boy, this is, I can't wait to see how Donald Trump navigates that.
Yeah, I think it's a really important point you just made, because it hasn't got a lot of attention, but it's amusing to me. The Hillary Clinton camp, you know, keeps talking about how there's a double standard because she's a woman. But watch for her on Monday night to use that double standard to her advantage if she thinks it could help her. I mean, she certainly did that in that Rick Lazio debate, kind of, you know, pulled away from him, looked like the vulnerable woman, in the face of this oncoming man from the Republican Party. And I think Donald Trump is going to have to be careful in that way. Not that he should in any way restrain himself from talking about her ethical problems, her bad policies, and some of the damage that she would do to the country and her, checkered past as Secretary of State. But I think he does need to do it in a way in which he does not come across as some sort of overbearing, unhinged male.
Well, which, let's face it, he's been, at moments in this campaign. So I just, I'll be honest, Kim, I think in his heart of hearts, he thinks, and I use this word, performing that way is what should be happening. I think he's restraining himself, but it's against his better judgment, which is why I think this is going to be interesting.
This debate is going to be huge because, look, if you look over the past month of what has been a pretty solid performance from Donald Trump by the measure of Donald Trump, the one moment in which he did not shine was when he went to that commander-in-chief forum, and he was not on a teleprompter and not under kind of following any talking points, but once again talking off the cuff. And it wasn't that he said anything like super horrible or terribly controversial, but he just did come across as a little bit more rambling. And this is what happens when he's let loose. And, we're going to have a debate here where there's going to be a lot of time for him to do that if that is the way he chooses to go.
Talking with Kim Strassel, final thought. The latest Marquette University Law School poll here in Wisconsin came out Wednesday. I actually thought it was going to show Donald Trump leading. That was my prediction. It didn't. It shows Hillary Clinton's lead shrunk to 3 points. A number of quote-unquote battleground states, you're seeing that. There was just a point not that long ago where Donald Trump was here and nobody figured out why, because he was down double digits, but then he was here. Now Wisconsin seems to be in play again, and we aren't seeing either candidate, and we're kind of stumped by it.
Yeah, I think that that's going to change over the next month, especially if the polls do remain tight. You're seeing this odd thing happen with the polls out there. The ones that have come out in late recent days on a national level are showing her with a bump again from a national perspective. The ones that you see coming out from battleground states, exactly opposite, where you see Trump getting some gains. And so, we now have very, very competitive races in not just Florida, Ohio, but some polls come out showing him closing the gap in places, as you said, like Wisconsin and Virginia, maybe even ahead in a place like Colorado. So I think that a lot of these states that people had figured were beyond his reach, they are going to come back into play. And I would not be surprised if you people in Wisconsin do get some visits in the coming weeks.
One other question, Kim, popped in my head. When you talked about how important this first debate is, how much of an impact do you think early voting has on this race? People have weighed in before they see all the debates.
Yeah, and that is a concern in certain states. I believe that, in this race, there is a certain number of Republicans and Democrats that are already baked in for their particular candidate, and those are probably some of the people you do early voting. A lot of folks that are, this election is going to fall at least in part on people who remain on the fence. They're undecided. There's a lot of them out there. There's going to be a lot of last-minute sort of strategic voting, too, people deciding, look, is my state in play? And if it is, then can I afford to vote for a Gary Johnson or a Jill Stein? Or am I not, in fact, obligated to vote for one of the candidates who's likely to win? So those are the people that this race are going to come down to, and they're probably not early voting because they're still making up their minds.
Kim Strassel, Wall Street Journal, author, Intimidation Game. Always good to have you on the show, Kim. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. I want to talk a little bit more about Wisconsin and why we aren't seeing more of them, and is it in play? We'll get to that in three. It's 9:49.
JerryBaderShow.com.